News, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
It is 7 minutes after 8 o'clock on FM Talk 106.5. Mobile Mornings, good to have you along. A lot to get to this hour, including guess who is about had it up to here with Joe Biden. You may guess incorrectly. We'll get to that as we go along here this morning. Also, we'll maybe dive into Wawa Fest because it's a real thing over there in Fairhope.
Humdinger. Maybe that's even the name of one of the hoagies. I don't know. I've never been in
Could be. And meanwhile, talking about a good time, we've got Jennifer Parnell on from Florabama, my dear friend. Jennifer, how are you?
I'm excited. It's the first day of our 40th annual mullet toss.
It's something. And, of course, you know, I've always referred to the Florabama as the Yankee Stadium of getting blanked up. this is a weekend where that really happens. It's a lot of fun. The weather looks good. Now, the winds may affect the throwing of the mullet. Are you aware of the forecast?
Well, I am. And when the mullet got delivered yesterday, they were really large.
Really?
The fish this year, they must have been eating well because they're big.
Okay.
Wow. Yeah. So, you're going to have to muscle through it when you're throwing these things.
You got the wind working against you.
It'll make you throw further.
Yeah.
Yeah. But the weather is going to be really nice. Folks out there getting some sun and having a good time. And, of course, interest is never a bad thing. And PETA helped us out a little bit this week, bringing even more interest to the mullet toss with a bit of a ridiculous request that I'm not sure they thought all the way through.
Yeah.
But it provided you some options this week to tell folks what this is all about and what you guys do.
Yeah, I mean, look, at the end of the day, the mullet toss, while it's a huge party and a really good time and a big celebration of life, it's a big fundraiser too. And we buy the fish from a local market, Safe Harbor Seafood, just like anybody could. And then we toss them. You pay $25 to toss the fish. With that, you get one toss and you get one T-shirt. And then we just turn around and donate that money back to local charities. So over the weekend, I mean, we'll raise $30,000, $40,000 that goes right back into the community.
Yeah,
and then when we're done, we donate those lovely fish to Alligator Alley. So it just comes full circle.
Yeah. So did PETA actually ever...
Was there like a letter in the mailbox or what?
How did they, or did they get in touch with you through the press release and not actually talk to you guys directly?
They sent a letter to one of the owners. It was an emailed letter. And then I guess they reached out to all of our dear friends in the media as well to share their letter.
Mm-hmm. So that's where that went. Okay.
I would have framed that.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Because... we'll make a golden copy of it and hang it up inside the Florabama.
Yeah, I know there's a lot of framings in your office for sure, but maybe you can make room for one more. This was rather historic. The fish themselves, how many mullet now are you in possession of? And you say kind of fatter than usual mullet. What's the number of fish?
Well, we'll toss around 2,000, but it's not 2,000 fish. So we're able to throw them multiple times.
Ah.
So we'll get, you know, 3, 4, 5 uses out of them before we'll go on to the next fish. But okay, we toss about 2,000 throws.
What's the kind of, for folks who are hopefully coming down there today and this weekend, what's the timeline? Like, when do they need to be ready to throw? When can they start setting up out there on the beach?
Yeah, so we do it every single day, so Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, and each day the schedule stays the same. So we start to toss at 10 a.m., and it's our kids, so we call them our guppies, and they get to toss first. So we do them from 10 to noon each day, and they can still toss throughout the day too, but at noon we'll start the adults, and we toss until 4 o'clock, and at 4 we'll go to our owners coming up to toss, and if we have any celebrity throwers, and then we'll go into the finals each day.
So
parking's all, it's a challenge, so I tell people to get there early.
So it's right on the beach behind Florabama, if you've never been, and they've got it set up. It's they've almost created like a stadium setting,
mm-hmm.
And you have, I guess, do you set up chairs, or are there lawn chairs, or you bring your own? How did that work? I guess there's actually stadium sorts kind of seating there, right?
Yeah, we have chairs all the way around the toss, and our friends at Ike's Beach Service, they set those chairs up.
There you
but
go.
They're free. We don't charge for them at all. It's just first come, first serve. So you want to come sit in the chairs for, you know, an hour or so, get some sunshine, watch the toss, you just walk up there, open chair, and you just sit down.
Yep. And, of course, the beach is wide open, plenty of room there, but Floribama is going to be open, too. So step in for a drink and some food, and, I mean, it's just overall a fantastic weekend.
It's years ago, so when I went back for the first time, maybe in 2021, of course, saw Jennifer and the whole gang there, and it was great to see everybody. But I just could not believe you couldn't wipe the smile off my face, Jennifer. I mean, that was I was videoing and texting people and saying you need to kind of be here. Mm-hmm. Also, Jennifer, is this one of those cash only weekends at Floribama?
It is, and we have plenty of ATMs on site, but we are going to be cash only throughout the weekend. But that is only in the Floribama and on the beach. So if you have a card, we'll still take them at our Oyster Bar, at the two restaurants across the street, Yacht Club and Old River Grill, and inside the gift shop. But we have plenty of ATMs on site.
You have an idea by the already Friday, because it begins today at 10, right? So you're all set up. Are you having any idea what this weekend's going to look like crowd-wise? And what's the biggest crowd you've ever had?
I feel like a couple of years ago, like post-COVID, everyone was pretty excited, so they wanted to come out and celebrate. They were ready. They'd been cooped up. But there was a bunch of people, you know, mingling around yesterday. You could tell there was, like, little excitement in the air. So I feel like with good weather, it's going to be a really fun weekend. So we're excited. I think we'll do well.
While you're on the air, we have some listeners asking for some inside information. Since you're the pro and you've been witnessing this event for some time now, a texter says, please ask Jennifer, what's the best mullet throwing strategy? Because you see some people that they throw like they're Ronald Acuna in right field, and then others, I imagine, go with like the granny free throw strategy.
there's quite a few options.
You see it all, but it's amazing when you see these people that throw almost out of the grounds, you know, out of the almost to the other end zone, I guess.
So what seems to be the go-to for your winners of the past? Just tossing it like a baseball?
Well, I think that it might be a little, just make sure you pick a fish that's not too large for this. But I feel like this works the best. So you're going to grab your fish and you're going to bend it in half. So like you kind of seriously kind of break it back, bend it. Mm-hmm. And then you're going to throw with the head and the tail. They'll be touching each other and the head's going to face forward and you throw it like basically like a baseball or a football.
Yeah, baseball, softball, that kind of thing, basically.
Okay. Yeah.
Jennifer, thank you for your time this morning and spelling out all that's going on at Floribama. I guess, again, just give us an idea about parking and what's the best thing to do to get there safely.
So we will have a parking attendant. The parking's free, but they're just going to help manage the parking lot to make it efficient so we can get as many cars in as possible. But parking's always a challenge. So we do encourage people to carpool, Uber, Lyft, take a taxi, bring a boat, whichever way you can get there, and come early. So we'll have parking, just depends first come, first serve. And then we said it's cash only. We also have 45 bands playing throughout the weekend, so
wow.
It's pretty amazing that you can see so much live music there. And then if you want to get into the Floribama, it's only a cover charge every day. It's just $10 a day, or if you're a Floribama membership card holder, it's free, so we won't charge you to get in. And then if you want to toss, you just walk out to the beach and go to the Floribama registration tent, and you can just purchase your toss there.
Sounds so good. We'll probably see you sometime this weekend, and we'll talk again soon, okay?
Good. I hope so.
You got it. Jennifer Parnell with Floribama, and she oversees the mayhem, but it's a lot of fun. It's really laid back.
And the mayhem reminds me, my dad texted me. He's clearly listening in this morning. A couple years ago, he and my brother went out there. I believe I was on home duty there with the newborn or very young child at that time, maybe two. And he said, don't forget, your brother hit someone in the head with his mullet a couple years ago. So a throw went awry. And that might have been the same same trip that my brother just kind of...
He went awry.
Went awry. Kind of was having such a good time. It's like, whoa, where'd he go?
Where did he go?
Kind of worked his way down the beach.
A lot of nice people you can meet down there at any given time. It's really laid back. It's really fun.
Yeah, you do meet a lot of new friends.
You do.
For sure.
Everybody's in a good news. Also, when I would go down, it seemed like 2 years in a row, I ran into a local high school football coach who would just kind of parked himself right there in the seating near the... he might have got hit by your brother.
He
might
have been scouting some talent.
It was it's a really good time, but the one thing that you want to keep in mind is the traffic and the mm-hmm. parking can be a little difficult if you get there closer to noon.
Yeah, and they're partnership with Alligator Alley. So I know none of y'all are actually concerned about what PETA had to say, but I do think it's great that they, after the toss, take the mullet over there, because that is another treasure. And it had been until this last summer a long time since I'd been to Alligator Alley, but I took the kids. And some of those gators are massive, bigger than you'll see anywhere else. And it's an incredible thing to witness, especially when they bring them up for feeding.
Where exactly is it? Because I've never been.
You haven't been?
No, well, it's on the way to the beach, right? It's not down at the beach.
So, I use the GPS a lot, to be honest with you. So Alligator Alley, maybe someone else can explain it easily while I look it up on the maps. But it's driving distance. If you're staying down there at the beach, it's not a long... I'm also thinking of... the other gator place down there. But it looks like they've got it over there between just about before you get to Fort Morgan.
Okay.
I think. Somebody else who lives down there, not just a visitor like I am, maybe more specific with that. But the whole event's very cool.
Did the kids enjoy the Alligator Alley?
They did. And now that I'm looking at the map, I think I got my gator places confused.
Ah,
so
okay.
There you go. And makes sense, right? There's a lot of gators down there. So, we took him to that gator preserve.
What's okay.
that place called? Can't remember. It's all been right. A couple times that I've been there. Again,
well, check it out.
Text line.
We'll get it through the text line and Google. We'll have your answer.
We'll have to send Judas Priest down there at some point. Coming up, your chance to win tickets to see Judas Priest, Mobile Civic Center Arena. Don't feed them to the gators.
No.
Maybe they'd like it. I don't know.
You know, that'd be the opposite of a standing ovation. Feed them to the gators. 818, Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5 in Mobile Mornings.
Oh, yeah, it is the weekend.
Oh, yeah.
823, FM Talk 106.5 in Mobile Mornings. I do something, only Sean does this, but I've done it several times myself, and that's, well, I've shopped in there. Bunch of times.
Sure.
Mobile Bay Coin.
Sure.
And find jewelry. And on the line with us right now, we have Ron. And I'm sure he's a busy man as we get closer and closer to Mother's Day. Ron, how's it going today?
Going fine today. I mean, it usually starts getting busy once we open the doors at 9 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
And we have lots of estate jewelry in. Anna made a large estate purchase about a month ago. It's cleared hold and probably 100 different pieces of vintage gold jewelry, bangles, earrings, a lot of matching pendants and things of that nature. So make sure you come by and shop for Mother's Day.
Yeah, and you know, I've done the same there for Valentine's Day and Mother's Day with some of your great selections of jewelry. No doubt folks need to go in and check that out. And you also got something for everybody, you know, whether it's the Opinel knives or the collectibles.
Yeah, lots of gold and silver, which has been hot right now with the markets the way they are. So we have plenty of bullion in stock if that's what people are looking for. And if people are looking for a career in numismatics, if they want to looking for a job, we are hiring counter personnel right now, somebody that will help buying and selling. And we are looking for a bench jeweler. So make sure you come by the shop there at 2204 Government Street and shop or drop us off a resume.
It's that easy. Hey, Ron, we appreciate it this morning, and thanks for checking in with us before the shop opens. We appreciate it.
No problem. You guys have a nice day.
Thank you.
That's Ron from Mobile Bay Coin and Fine Jewelry. And, I've over the years, gathered quite the collection of different things from there and for different gifts for different people, so check them out. 825 FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Morning. So this Alligator Alley thing, and it's in Summerdale. The one I'm talking about.
The thing
that threw me for a loop there, you search Alligator Alley in Google Maps, and I was just looking for the exact address and where it's located. Sometimes Google Maps, especially down by the beach, it thinks other things are, like it says there's another Alligator Alley and
Fort Morgan.
Down in Fort Morgan. Maybe that's just part of that refuge there that they call that. But the Alligator Alley in Summerdale, where you pay, you can get the
food.
It's
like a show, isn't it?
Yeah, and with the kids, I mean, you buy the gator food,
yeah,
and you toss it to them, and you watch from the very little gators chomping it up and laying on each other and running over each other to the end of it when you walk all the way out there on into the wetlands and you watch the show where they feed them chicken, that's where you'll see some of the biggest gators you will ever see. Right. Now, some of them are missing a hand. Some are missing an eye.
Are they scrapping with each other?
Disagreements over the years.
Really?
And, but you said he puts on a show. He sure, he really does.
Yeah, very entertaining.
He's got
guy.
Some good funny lines and the names of these gators. So, yeah, very cool that in Summerdale. You should check it out next time you get a chance.
I will. Have we ever seen a draft like this where it was so heavy offensive? The NFL draft.
No.
23 offensive players in the first 32, I guess. 23. Six quarterbacks went in the first 12 picks,
mm-hmm.
maybe? I don't recall anything like this.
No, and it's such a premium. It is the premium position, right? And those first 14 picks, which, like you said, were all offense, that's where the money's made now. Quarterback, six of them in the first 14 picks, including Bo Nix, who most people didn't have him going that high, but he went to Sean Payton out in Denver, and pretty clear line of succession there for Bo Nix. If he doesn't start out as the starter, it won't take him long. He's got Jarrett Stidham. I think they just got Zach Wilson.
They got Zach Wilson.
The Jets.
It was kind of a disaster in New York.
So Bo Nix, who's I guess relatively older than some of these other prospects, but not. I mean, Michael Penix Jr. is 24
or soon to be 24.
Soon to be 24, and that was the biggest shock of the draft. The Washington quarterback going eighth. To Atlanta, and
just made a deal for a quarterback.
Yeah, they just got Kirk Cousins in free agency, 4 years, $180 million contract. Now, people are upset about the Penix pick. I'd be more upset about the Kirk Cousins contract because you got an older guy who you'd think he would have gone to a place that was ready to win now, and Atlanta's not ready to win now.
Well, some would say they have more players. Their quarterback play has been so bad the last couple of years, it's hard to figure out if they're any good at all.
So I guess the plan now is to have Penix just kind of wait behind Kirk Cousins, and if he's the guy, he's the guy. That's the thing about a quarterback, is if you think he is the quarterback, doesn't matter.
No.
You have to get one on your team that can take care of business. Caleb Williams, first overall, I just don't like his demeanor. I don't know. He's this part of a new generation that just kind of acts a different way.
Yeah, doesn't like
maybe I sound like an old fogey saying
well,
that.
I know, but you know, you're thinking of Johnny Unitas up to John Elway, up to Roger Staubach, up to Brett Favre, guys that were like no-nonsense quarterbacks, and he doesn't quite fit that as far as his attitude. But the Bears had him meet a lot of their key players. They brought him up to Chicago.
Yeah, and then they got
integrated him in.
Who might end up being the best receiver from the draft.
Yep.
However things play out, Rome Odunze from Washington ends up going to Chicago also. For the Bama players, J.C. Latham ends up going first from Bama, and he went to my Tennessee Titans, who definitely needed some offensive line help. Now, I guess he played left tackle at IMG Academy. Went right tackle at Bama because Evan Neal was on the other side.
Mm-hmm.
Now they're going to try to switch him back over to left tackle in the big leagues.
Okay.
And I'm excited about the pick because he is a mauler, probably the strongest player in the draft. Saints needed offensive line help, and pickings were sparse as far as the top tier of guys, but they may have gotten their guy with Tali Fuaga. From
Oregon State. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I know they were hoping that a Fashanu or an Alt or a Latham would fall to him, but they got him. And Dallas Turner went to Minnesota. I think he's going to be great there. He would normally be a top five pick, I think. Top 10 at least. But
one of the top edge rushers in the draft. And all those guys tumbled down because the quarterbacks were picked.
Yeah. And now today we'll hear more Bama names called. Kool-Aid McKinstry, Braswell, very likely. And some Auburn players as well.
Yeah.
Especially some people from around here. DJ James. Nehemiah Pritchett.
Kool-Aid McKinstry, Pop-Tart Evans, 8:30, Dan and Dalton, and Mobile Mornings.
8:34, FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for listening to Mobile Mornings on this Friday. Right now it's time to talk with Louie Arata from McConnell Automotive. Hey, Louie.
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you?
We're good, man. And why don't you tell us what you have going on over there at McConnell Automotive. You guys service, body shop, selling cars, buying cars, you'll do it all.
That's right. I mean, I'm sitting here looking down in Fort Lauderdale right now trying to buy a few cars, and we got a great selection. You can check that all the vehicles out online at McConnellAutomotive.com. I mean, like I said, we got GM certifieds. We got high lines. We got all new stuff too. We got sitting over there looking at some great looking Sierra trucks, and got that last 23 left, man. That's about $10,000 off. You're looking for a four wheel drive truck, pull a boat with. You know, it's fixing to be boating season. Mm-hmm. We've got it over there, so $10,000 off. I mean, you know, 2 or 3 years ago, $10,000 off a pickup truck was unheard of, but yeah. Now we got it. And you know, on the new 24s, we got 1.9% financing for 36 months. So, I mean, you do have cheap money. Everybody's asking about, we got any cheap money out there? Mm-hmm. So we got it. So come see us.
Yeah, and the website as well, McConnellAutomotive.com. We appreciate it, Louie. Hope you have a great weekend.
Hey, thank y'all. Have a good weekend.
Louie Arata, go see him at McConnell Automotive, Dolphin Street, just east of I-65, and that website, McConnellAutomotive.com.
Earlier today, I revealed to Dalton, well, I kind of revealed to myself, so I put on these shorts this morning. It was going to be kind of a casual day here at FM Talk 106.5. Put on these old like work shorts that were in the back of the closet, and I said, yeah, they'll do today, you mm-hmm. know. We're no fashion show today.
Right? Yeah.
And I had a mask was in something was in my
COVID mask.
Yeah, a COVID mask.
Yeah.
So that tells you how long ago that I last wore and then laundered. You know, when you leave do you remember all that? That when the time during the COVID mask? Well, it's kind of like, but do you remember the inconveniences and the hassles and simply like washing your pants the mask was in there, got all messed up. You mess up the laundry. So this one survived, and what a reminder of that whole time.
I threw every mask in the house that I could find away with prejudice when I could find it at some point. And I guess that was probably about 2 years ago. Even kids got a doll from somebody, and it wasn't the intent of the giver, I know, but the doll came with a COVID mask, and I was like,
did it really?
Yeah. I was like, no.
So we're about to celebrate a birthday here at FM Talk 106.5. Now, when I came on board, it was the summer of the original summer of COVID.
Mm-hmm.
After the spring of COVID started in March and all that.
Brian Adams song, I think. Summer of
Maybe so. It could be somebody's song out there, just an artist that's not very good. So we've never heard about it. But so it was August of that year, and it was the dominant story. I mean, remember when I was sitting in as you and Sean were doing mornings, and you would have this report every day. You were keeping an eye on the trends, and we were looking at dashboards at different universities like South and Spring Hill and what was going on. It was what a time to end up doing the news, because the news was pretty singular at that time.
Yeah, yeah. And a lot of people now who the backtracking that's gone on, that's going to go down as, from what it did to our youth and to
mental health
and drug addiction. Use. Just absolutely devastating. And I don't think we've come anywhere near to seeing the consequences of what all of that meant and will mean in the future as far as the youth. And also, you know, it was a good little test run from the government or government officials to see what Americans would be willing to do.
But would they be willing to do that
put
again?
Up with? I think, depending on who's in office.
Some would.
Mm-hmm.
Some would comply again, but I think a lot would not. Because people that were, I don't know, I mean, you know, they got me worried enough about it. Never seen anything like it in my lifetime. So let's put that first, okay? Would I be the, you know, I was the test case of somebody who was confused by it all, and out of caution, just said, well, you know, it's not just me, it's other people. Trying to look out for everybody, kind of, you know, took the bait.
Yeah.
But after a while, of course, looking back at it now, what percentage of health officials are saying, we got it wrong?
No.
I mean, if you look at it now, almost we would have been just fine. The people who passed away, so many of them were compromised in so many ways. age, weight, lack of health in the first place.
Right. Maybe some kind of illness.
Maybe some kind of illness,
but,
right.
Yeah.
And then that heaped on top of that, it was too much.
Right.
But by and large, we all would, I got it. Survived, no big problem. I'm not spitting in the face of COVID. I'm just saying, if we would have handled it normally, like this is, it's coming, it's a strain of this, it could do this, it could do that, but just live.
Right.
Well, we didn't live, and we're living to pay that, and I think the numbers would have been about the same if we had just lived.
Right, yeah.
And that's what I'm trying to say, long way to it, but those who passed away, we're going to pass away.
And, you know, going into it, you think, I've never experienced something like this before. You have these public health officials, which until then, maybe I'm sure there were individual circumstances and factions who have always been, don't listen to them. But for most of us, me anyway, who's the only person I can speak for, I'd always kind of separated public health officials from just public officials in general. Mm-hmm. It's like, well, no matter what, you'd think they would have the truth and health, like actual, you know, the health, not just of sick people, but of keeping well people well, that would be top of mind. And it ended up being a whole big thing about power and making sure they had control, and how even if you brought up, you know, herd immunity or things like that, they'd say, trust the science. It's become legend at this point. Just trust the science. Well, they weren't. That's not science. Science mm-hmm. is ever evolving, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And now the same scientists who would, there were people asking for those who disobeyed lockdowns to more or less be executed. Mm-hmm. I mean, it got so freaking wild. I mean,
it was a frenzy. It really was.
Most of these people who were the most demented about this whole thing never stepped back and said,
we got that wrong.
Completely wrong on that. Yeah. No, they're just saying, well, I guess what the science shows. Now the science is showing them certain things. But there are still people that are completely wrapped up in it and still observing the trends in their community and whether to Lysol everything in the house and make the kid wear a mask. And, of course, there's still a lot of people out there wearing masks. And I think what a lot of people found was, during cold season, or if they're not necessarily 100% well in general, that masks in a way sometimes do have their benefits. But forcing everyone to wear the mask and shaming those who didn't, and then the vaccines, yeah, it was just, everybody knows.
Yeah, yeah.
Complete disaster.
What a time. What a time it was. And what a, and when you look at it again, I'm wondering, would we have been at about the same number of deaths if everything was just wide open? I think we'd been close.
Mm-hmm.
I think that the you can disagree, and there could be just certain incidents and illnesses and deaths that you may have experienced with your family that was very unexpected or didn't fit the mold of those who passed away. But for the most part, we got sick for 10 days and we got better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what it, now you know, I was sick. The first time, and I was like, oh, my eyes actually hurt. This isn't fun.
I remember that. Yeah.
And, I remember we had our, at that time, she was one or two.
That's what I'm saying. You had little
my
kids.
My wife, well, just one little kid.
Yeah.
My wife and I were down and out, and I was thinking, and she had to stay home with us.
Yeah.
Right? And I was thinking, this must be what it's like for people who are addicted to heroin. Like, you can't get off the couch. We did.
Yeah.
But it's like, man, it was
tough.
It was difficult. Yeah, yeah. To even just care for someone. But that's not the only sickness that does that to
that's
you.
What
you catch
being,
the flu.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You can get the flu and be sideways for mm-hmm. for 7 days for sure.
Or a number of things.
Yeah.
Also, during all of that, of course, you had the powers to be going after Donald Trump. I mean, it started from the time he won the election, even before that, throughout the 4 years. And one of the major things that they tried to get Trump for, and that he'll likely go on trial for, was the documents, right? The documents case, where he was the only one who was charged of any of the vice presidents or presidents who, after they charged Trump, said, oh, looky here. Look what I got.
Yeah.
Including Biden. So this report, it's been under discussed this week, but New York Post had it, the one I'm looking at here. And headline, National Archives was, quote, pissed off trying to track down Trump's letters with Kim Jong-un, Obama, and his hurricane map. So the way they framed this and the reason they charged him, remember there were people theorizing that Trump was selling Russia nuclear secrets, things of that nature. Well, if that was the case, then why was, according to unclassified FBI files and emails that came out this week, the National Archives and Records Administration, they most often asked about, this is what they were most concerned with getting back from Trump.
Okay.
The doctored map of Hurricane Dorian. Do you remember that?
Where he had the hurricane coming to Alabama?
Right. So he was, you know, prepping the nation. We had this massive Hurricane Dorian that was on the way. And Trump initially said, I can't remember the exact quote. He was like, Florida needs to watch out, Georgia, Alabama. And because they hit him for the slightest of things, they were like, it's not going to Alabama. None of it has it hitting Alabama. So just before, it was the Thursday before landfall, which was set to be Tuesday of that week in 2021, May of it wasn't 2021. It would have been like 2019, okay. September of 2019. And you might remember the press conference Trump's having about this Hurricane Dorian. And you have the cone of Dorian and where it's expected to go and at what timeline. And on the left side of the cone, someone, maybe Trump, took a Sharpie and made the cone a little bit longer so that it would stretch into Alabama and fit Trump's narrative at that time, which, again, slides to things. People were just going insane over this. Now, Dorian ended up, it rode up the coast of Florida and Georgia and then back out into the Atlantic, I believe. But all of this talk about these Trump documents and who knows who he was sharing them with and this and that, they said it was the hurricane map of Dorian that was doctored that they were asking for the most. NARA, that's the National Archives, General Counsel Gary Stern vented in a July 2021 phone call that he and the other records agency personnel were, quote, pissed off about the former president's hoarding of the records, including the 2019 hurricane map and letters from North Korean dictator Kim Jong-un and former President Barack Obama. To me, those are mementos. Those aren't national security secrets.
No, they're not.
It sounds like they were looking at the value of those things and saying, we need those in our possession, not in Trump's possession. Of the missing documents, this is notes from interviews with FBI agents. This notes that interviews that FBI agents held with unnamed officials. At least one was identified as having worked in the White House Office of Record Management. Of the missing documents, the hurricane map was the one most often asked about. Other persons familiar said that Trump was fond of certain documents and he kept the files close because he did not trust the system and had been burned by leaks to the press. Once he left office, the NARA and the Office of Record Management enlisted Attorney General Merrick Garland and the Biden White House Counsel's Office to retrieve the missing files. Now, of course, we know what happened since then, and he was charged with 40 criminal counts for retaining the information. One of the documents that they eventually retrieved back in 2022 was designated as highly restricted. But it's not the one that the archives were asking about, right? They're asking about the hurricane
map. They wanted the Dorian map. I'm looking at it. I'm looking at several images of it right now, just after I Googled it. And it's just kind of comical.
Right. It's a memento, right?
Yeah,
it's like that. You could see that going up in a museum or something like that.
Yeah.
So the judge in that case, Eileen Cannon, this all came from Discovery, these files. And he's still scheduled to go on trial for these July 8th. And I just hope that we get a big dissertation on the Hurricane Dorian map there in the court case.
What is that MAGA right-wing publication, The New York Times, up to now, you may ask? Dalton and I with some answers on the way. It's 8:49, Mobile Mornings. FM Talk 106.5, Mobile Mornings, Dan and Dalton. Going to give it up to Jeff Poor here in just a couple of minutes. The New York Times released a blistering statement calling out President Biden for his unprecedented lack of media access during his first term in office. For anyone who understands the role of the free press in a democracy, it should be troubling that President Biden has so actively and effectively avoided questions from independent journalists during his term, the Times began in its statement. The president occupies the most important office in our nation, and the press plays a vital role in providing insights into his thinking and worldview, allowing public access to his record and hold him to account. The statement came following a report from Politico magazine about escalating tensions between the Times and the White House. Evidently, the guy that runs the New York Times, A.G. Sulzberger, is the publisher, and he had a little dust-up with Kamala Harris that had her rolling her eyes and hopping in a limo and getting away from the argument. So the New York Times publicly telling Biden, shape up.
Wow.
Please let us know what's going on.
Yeah, and they also, we won't go into detail, don't have the time, but the they had an op-ed published this week, not with a New York Times writer, but a law professor with Boston University, who I believe is liberal and has served on some liberal political staffs, but his headline, "I thought the Bragg case against Trump was a legal embarrassment. Now I think it's a historic mistake."
Wow.
So, yeah, interesting stuff coming from the New York Times this week. Not really the same old that you kind of expect from them. Jeff Porcio on the way. He'll have Todd Stacey on in hour number one, who's going to try to help us make a little sense out of what exactly is going on in Montgomery with the legislative session winding down here over the next couple of weeks. April Marie Fogle in hour number two, who, by the way, will be guest hosting for Sean Sullivan on Midday Mobile later today. And then in hour three, State Senator Chris Elliott joins the Jeff Poor Show. Looking at the text line, Mr. Plott asks, is a troubadour like a Labrador? I guess if a Labrador was traveling the country and making songs, it'd be a Labrador troubadour.
Yeah.
Text here. Morning, fellas. Some people say that COVID was the first test of the government's ability to control the population. When a real pandemic happens, the government plays catch up. This was the first time the government was quote unquote proactive and spent money on the COVID campaign as if it was a recruiting scheme. COVID taught us all that we can't trust anyone, not the government, not law enforcement, not our jobs, not our businesses where we shop, and not each other. There should have been thousands of arrests made at every level for the breach in constitutional rights, yet you see no one in jail, especially not the COVID scandal head, Anthony Fauci. OSHA work regulations went right out the window, and so did patients' rights. One day the COVID period will be remembered as the biggest blunder in human history. Doesn't Have Meta says, I was shamed and called dumb in my own house because I wouldn't get the vaccine or wear a mask. I never caught it even when it was in my house. I'll never forget how I was treated. And he also says, I was raving about J.C. Latham, the Titans pick from Bama. He said, just an FYI, the missed block that cost Alabama the touchdown against Michigan was J.C. Latham. Hey, man, don't tell me that. I'm on cloud nine right now. He said also the guy that made the tackle wasn't drafted last night either.
Well, the guy that kept snapping it back like he was playing bocce ball, he's on the Ohio State roster. That was a bigger problem than J.C. Latham last year.
Yeah, for sure. Jerry on Fort Morgan says, the funny thing about the China virus is we paid for it to be created. We did, yeah. And we had a story earlier this week. They're going to have the Office of Inspector General kind of audit the money spent by the DOD on things exactly like that over the last decade. But even Joni Ernst, the senator who pushed for that to happen, she's not saying, like, this will litigate the COVID thing. She's saying this is to keep us from having the same thing happen again, where we create a virus that ends up leaking from the lab.
Incredible.
Michael says 95% of the people who took the bait last time will do it again next time, and the officials will do it again when it's useful for them too.
I don't know about that. By the way, great news about, even if you're not a fan, it's really cool news for the band the Red Clay Strays, who made they got a lot of fans around here,
they
actually have a lot of fans around the country.
Mm-hmm.
And now
growing.
They've got a great opportunity.
Yeah, they're going to open for the Rolling Stones. That was announced yesterday at Gillette Stadium in Foxborough.
Amazing.
At the end of May. So congrats, Red Clay Strays. That is awesome. Speaking of music, Judas Priest, Mobile Civic Center Arena, May 12th, with special guest Sabaton.
Sabaton.
We've got a pair of tickets. We'll keep giving away next week. But right now, caller number 4, 251-343-0106. Caller number 4, get a pair of tickets to see Judas Priest, the Civic Center Arena, May 12th. Tickets for sale at the box office.